Okay, we're back again, Gabbing with Invincible. Gab here with.
What's up, Gab? How are you? Enjoying this Florida weather? Yeah.
And it's actually though, it what this morning was 65
Yeah, no,
on
how do you use a blanket?
this brisk March morning.
How do you use a blanket? Well, hey, they're talking about how great it is though over in Clearwater, with the Phillies and their spring training. And one of the guys that we're going to be talking to had just covered the Phillies at spring training, and it's my buddy John Clark. He's been around forever. Local guy, local Philly guy, who's he's had Emmy nominations, and here he is, big time. Guy's like the king of Instagram. I can't wait to hear what he says about that and the changes and the way sports are covered right now.
And Philly, I mean, he covers literally all Philly sports, and so it's a fun conversation. Talk about his upbringing or his start to, Philly sports right now. So it'll be a fun conversation. So hope you like it.
All right, great.
Well,
So
that's
now we're here. John Clark. Also, can I say, John, looking you up online, it is very difficult to find any information about you other than your high school and that you went to Temple and that you're a part of the Special Olympics. But we do know you're Delco, though.
Delco trash. No, I'm kidding. Delco pride.
Delco rules, baby.
I
Isn't
love
that great?
Delco. I love that hat too.
Yeah, we do love that. Yeah, if I find a green shirt on, I put it on. Anyway, so no,
I
it's all
love it.
good. Yeah, well, let's go right with that Delco because
Yeah.
I'm a Delco guy. Explain to people what Delco is all about.
I'll tell you, Delco is about being real and authentic. And what you see is what you get. And that's what I love about Delco. People are upfront, people are honest, they're in your face, kind of like Philly. Philly and Delco are very similar. But I love being from Delco. Montgomery County, Bucks County, a little more sophisticated. Delco is more work ethic and fight for everything that you get in life. And I really learned a great work ethic from growing up in Delco.
You mean Wallingford? You
Hey, come on now. I was on the outskirts of Wallingford.
okay.
We didn't have a family pool growing up. I remember growing up in Delco, and I remember I wanted to get a TV for my room, and I wanted to have a TV like a lot of my other friends. And my dad said, "Well, if you want a TV, you can go out and earn money to get the TV." And I said,
That's Delco.
"Okay, that's how it is." So I went to work at Burger King in Brookhaven, and I think those are the Delco lessons you learn.
Can you eat Burger King to this day?
No, absolutely not. After working there, I do not eat any fast food hardly.
I bet you don't.
Well, to give our viewers a Google's map view of Delco, if you're in the Philadelphia area, and Philly's right on the river between New Jersey and of course Pennsylvania, and then at the end of the Philadelphia runway, which is the very end of the borderline between Philadelphia and Delaware County, that's where we were, right on the river. They call a lot of us there the river rats. My dad worked at Westinghouse. I don't know where your dad worked, but I grew up in this housing project, and everybody worked on the river with Sun Oil, Sun Ship, and everybody was supporting either World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, all those things back then. And it was pretty crazy. Yeah.
That's
Very.
amazing. My aunt worked for Sun Oil, and then my dad worked for Scott Paper right by the airport.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, so it, then off to drop, off to Temple, So first of all, let's talk about those Strathaven days, which was a combination. Let's see, you combined what with Nether Providence and what were the other schools that you came in that went in there with Strathaven?
Oh, well, so Nether Providence, when all my aunts and uncles went there, it was Nether Providence High School, but then it became Strathaven High School. And that's all I know is Strathaven High School.
Okay, right.
Nether Providence Middle School, NPE, and all those. But I wouldn't trade my childhood, and I'm sure you wouldn't either for anything in Delco.
No, it sort of made you tougher. People can use whatever you grew up and how your childhood was, either as an excuse or a reason why. I like to see as mine as a reason why the people say, it's pretty crazy or strong, but it sort of gave me the strength to do a few things that haven't been done before. So it's pretty cool. So you're an athlete without a doubt. How tall are you? Are you 6'4", 6'5"? How tall are you?
I'm 6'5", but I got to tell you, growing up, I mean, I tried to be an athlete, but I just wasn't good enough, and maybe I didn't have the confidence enough. I mean, I was in the little leagues, played baseball all growing up, and then played some tennis. Tried out for the football team. It's a little too thin, They put me at tackle, offensive tackle. I couldn't block anybody. I was too thin, so I didn't necessarily make it there. And I kind of have the same deal as Michael Jordan. We were both cut from our high school basketball team, so I have that in common with Michael Jordan, but kind of the rest of the trajectory.
Now you just cover the NBA. You don't play in it, though.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I knew I didn't have a chance to be at the next level of athletics playing it, so I really wanted to be around it and tell stories because I think sports is the greatest thing. It teaches you teamwork. And in everything we do in life, we got to work as a team. In any job you have and anything you do, you got to work as a team.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in Temple, did you try and play any sports or any intramurals or anything like that to kind of keep you involved in the sports realm while you were doing the school thing?
I mean, I would have loved to. I just wasn't good enough. Tall, skinny kid.
I find that so hard to believe.
No, you believe it. I think after school is when I kind of really, you know, got a lot more into tennis, and I'm really into golf now. But I just maybe didn't have the confidence being a tall, skinny kid. And maybe I didn't have the fight that Delco was supposed to teach me. But so I dove into trying to talk about sports instead of actually playing it, because I knew maybe I could possibly be a little bit good at the other thing.
Now, my darling Gabriella has a house in West Palm Beach, Palm Beach Gardens. Mm-hmm. So did you start playing golf when you were working there? Was that really your first TV job in Palm Beach Gardens or West Palm Beach?
West Palm, right?
So my first TV job right out of Temple was Atlantic City NBC 40, a very, very, very small station down the shore. That really only people in the shore towns could watch. So I got to live at the shore during the summer when I worked there. Then I got a job in West Palm Beach, got near another beach. That's kind of the theme. I have to be near a beach, but or the shore. So that was my second job, West Palm Beach. And the thing I learned down there is that every single golfer and tennis player live there. And I'm sure you know where it is. I'm sure you live right near there.
Jupiter?
Yep, Jupiter Island.
Where we live.
The Intercoastal Waterway, they're all there. It's amazing.
We're right in Jupiter on a golf course.
Justin Thomas actually just bought a house within 100 yards of where I live.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. They're all here. They're here. It's nuts. I'm like, I need to steal the dog like from my parents and walk him so that I can become best friends with his wife and be like, oh my God, you want to have me over for your house parties? Their house is nuts. Nuts. Yeah.
Well, we have a great Justin Thomas story. We have this place called Romeo and Juliet. We were 70. We had about 30 or 40 people. And look off to a right in a really long table set up like a banquet. Off to the right, Gabby and Vinny are texting me. Says, is that who we think that is over your shoulder? And here was JT with his fiance at that time. And her birthdays happened to be the same day as mine. And so we got a chance to finally meet for the first time, which was really cool. And afterwards, I had ordered a bunch of drinks for everybody and also him. And he wound up picking up the tab, which like, yo, are you kidding me? So we're big JT fans here. But it's really, you know, I mean, all the times you come down, we never connect. So, but one of these times we're going to make it happen.
I know. We got to play some golf down there. Try to keep up with you.
I play golf. I'm an army golfer. It's left, right, left, right. I use the yellow balls because they're easier to play.
Like that's criminal.
They actually put they put a little sensor on me just in case I get lost in the woods so they can find me.
They should do that.
Well, one of the amazing things is one of the first stories I did in West Palm Beach, I went over Jesper Parnevik's house. In Jupiter, and Tiger Woods's future wife, Ellen, she was working for him, and she was there in his house working for him. And actually, the thing I didn't know, Jesper Parnevik, and you know, the tradition, I guess they're not allowed to ask you to leave. That is their tradition. I forget where he's from.
Interesting.
He's over there in Europe somewhere, but they're not allowed to ask somebody that has been invited into their home. They're not allowed to ask them to leave. So we were all just like, wow, you know, we're just hanging out. And, you know, that's you don't want to be rude according to their culture. So we kind of hung out there for a while.
Did you sleep over?
You know, I tried that, but eventually they did kick us out.
Yeah,
they did kick us out. So
Now I know why Jesper is at the COPS tournament for McDavid. We got down here in Jupiter because I did a charity event for the police, COPS, Concerns of Police Survivors. And Jesper Parnovic's always there. And I'm trying to think, why? Now I know you answered that question. It was in my head.
Yeah. When you were in West Palm and covering there, like, were you covering sports or was it just general broadcasting?
Oh, no, I was covering sports. We were covering the Dolphins. We were covering the Heat and things like that. And then we covered all the minor league teams that are there in Jupiter and Palm Beach Gardens. And then, we did so many golf stories. I remember, and I'll be honest, I didn't grow up a golf fan. My aunt and uncle were, but I remember we went over to Jack Nicklaus's house, maybe Jupiter Island or Juno Beach or one of those. And he did like a State of the Bear address. His wife, Barbara, baked cookies for the media. And we ran into every single golfer, Chichi Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. We did stories at his house, Venus and Serena Williams. We did stories at their house in Palm Beach Garden. So you guys are living in the best place in the entire country. If I was to say one place other than Philly that I want to live, it is right there in that area, Jupiter, even down to Delray Beach. Delray Beach is amazing, but Jupiter to Delray Beach, that whole area is amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But we still have our Philly ties because we have what I call our pit stop, and that's in Queen Village on 2nd Street. So can't miss that. As a matter of fact, be flying up. This podcast will be in Philadelphia when this podcast airs. So that'll be pretty cool. Yep.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so, and then I have actually a question about that. So do you come down here still a lot? Like, do you even have time to vacation with what you do? Because every time I see you, you're Phillies, Sixers, Flyers,
you're
Eagles,
an Instagram maniac. Do you have Instagram? It's like,
do you have time to just relax? Like, I feel like you're always posting. So I'm like, how does this guy do it? I don't know how you do it.
Thank you so much. That is very nice of you to say. I mean, the way I look at it is like, the reason why I got into sportscasting was to connect with Philadelphia and the sports fans and get the information and perspective and insights that they want. Cause I think that I'm interested in the same thing having grown up here. But nowadays I hear from so many kids growing up more so than they see us on TV is they get the information off Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. So I'm just trying to stay relevant because the young kids growing up now are getting their information off of all the social media. So I'm just trying to connect with them and try to give them the information and insight that they're looking for. And so many of them don't really turn on the TV anymore. Yeah. So we gotta stay connected to this generation that's coming up, and media is always changing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was one of the questions I was going to ask later, but while it's already there and you brought it up, you know, the biggest changes in that have been that we just did a podcast with our guy that we did our movie, and the whole thing is
he's doing a show with all influencers
and influencers. Wow. And he's saying, you know, the day of the Hollywood that we knew is different. So the day of the sports, the way you knew it, you know, what's really great about you though, John, you have some great sources, because I was just going through maybe 3 or 4 days worth of Instagrams before we came on. And you were right on the money with some of the moves that were being made, especially right now with the Eagles and free agency, you know, and pretty interesting stuff. So good work.
Yeah, well, hey, I mean, you know, Vince and Gabby, I mean, everywhere you go, people are asking about, are we going to keep C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Are we going to be able to keep this guy? Are we going to get that guy? I mean, Delco, Philly, I mean, the Eagles are just a behemoth. Mm-hmm. People grow up here. I mean, I think when I was growing up, it was probably a baseball town. That's the way I remember it. But it is an Eagles town probably for the last, 30 years, 40 years?
Since I've been alive.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is an Eagles town, and this place lives and dies with the Eagles. Now, where you live and nice places like Miami and LA and all that, where the weather's always nice, people have so many different interests because of how nice it is year round. But in Philly, that's what we got. We got the Eagles. And so everybody follows every single move. And it's to the second now with social media. Everybody needs to, oh my gosh, what does this tweet from C.J. Gardner-Johnson mean? So it's changed so much. It's by the second now.
We're by his agents.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You know, it doesn't go away either. You know, that's the thing. You can't just delete them because they're always out there.
I know. Somebody gets a screen grab real quick these days.
Yeah. Well, so then do you think though, because so like you're around all these guys so much, do you think that they kind of give you a little bit more access into their life and behind the scenes because you've built up such a great rapport with them? Like they trust you.
Well, look, I am not a hot take artist. I'm not somebody who's going to come out here and have a hot take. I think my job as a TV sportscaster in Philadelphia is to inform and try to bring insight and perspective to the fans of Philadelphia. And I think they can make their opinions and judgments and come up with their thoughts and theories and stuff like that. My job is to try to bring as much information to them and also try to get to know the players and why guys do things, why coaches do things, why players do things, what makes them tick. Cause I'm interested in that as well. So I think that I just want to bring information, perspective, and insight to the fans. And I think that athletes and coaches are looking for somebody who does that. Cause nowadays everybody's so quick to form an opinion about somebody. Nick Sirianni's first press conference, everybody's jumping all over him. Well, we all remember our very first time doing something. I mean, everybody's human. Everybody's human. So I try to show the human side of everybody and let the fans make their judgments and come up with their own opinions. But I do think that this, like most businesses, it's a relationship business and you have to establish trust and show people that if you say you're going to do something or you say you're going to interview somebody under certain pretenses, you got to come through. And if you are found to be dishonorable and you don't live up to your word, that word spreads to everybody. So I think that the biggest thing is you build trust with people. And if you're a good person and your motives are in the right place, I think people are interested in talking to you and sharing their story with you.
You know, it's funny to say that, John, because when I was playing and then I had an opportunity to work in Philly as in the off season as a weekend sportscaster, and the guys on the team started to shy away from me. And they were afraid that I was going to, because we're still hanging out. They're still my buddies. You know, we're playing golf, going out, have a few beers, whatever it is. Even though it's the off season, we're training all the time. And, you know, they weren't quite sure if I was going to be reliable or trustworthy enough to be around in those other situations. And, you know, I saw them pulling back and, you know, and then you have the producers, they want something, you know, everything doesn't have to be an exclusive. My take on it, exactly the way yours was let's get the other stuff, the inside stuff, you know, like say, for example, we're good friends with Doug Peterson. And, you know, what about that other non-football side of Doug Peterson? That's what I really want to know about. What about, you know, how your family comes together and your, how your wife comes together. And me, I see, I just love the way you're covering it. There's so much other as everybody out the competition for the exclusive. Who cares about it? Give me the inside stuff and something that nobody else is going to get. And Gabby, you brought up the right thing. And John, the same thing. It's trust and relationships. It's like anything. It's sales, for crying out loud. You know, and that's one of the first things I say when I get out and speak. You got to establish those trusting relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know, for somebody to do an interview or for somebody to reveal information, it has to work out for them. So it can't be a one-way street where somebody is always getting something. Any type of relationship or interaction, it's got to have a purpose for both sides. Something has to work for both sides, or else one person is going to leave unhappy. It's like a trade. If one team hates what happens in a trade, they feel they didn't get enough in the trade. Well, how many times are they going to want to do another trade with you?
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. Yeah. I feel like there needs to be like more reporters and like people like you that do it like that to get this sense of who the person is behind the scenes. Because again, I feel like you get much more out of the players in the long run. And then also it helps people maybe behind the scenes that are quick to put a judgment on a player, on a coach, on a staff or whatever it is, maybe helps give them a little bit behind the scenes and be like, okay, maybe I need to be a little bit more empathetic towards this person in this situation. And it kind of, you know, maybe can help soften the Philly fans in a way that when, how they get this, like, you know, hard reputation.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, I think the one thing, I love Philly. It's so passionate. It's the most passionate place I've ever been and I've ever experienced. And growing up here, I love it too. The one thing is I just wish we weren't so quick to judge right away. Mm-hmm. I remember people judged Charlie Manuel right away based on him being from down south and he talked a certain way. Well, Charlie Manuel turned out to be the perfect guy for that Phillies team. And I think even Andy Reid, we go back, Andy Reid was not a coordinator and he came in as, you know, offensive line coach, QB coach, and that was his history. Well, I think people judged him right away. Like, well, he doesn't have credentials. And now he's one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. They judged Nick Sirianni right away. So I think let's not rush to judgment on people right away and give people a little bit of time to grow into them as people in Philadelphia. Because like so many guys that I talk to, even Nick Castellanos, when he came here, they get a little intimidated by Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, we got to give people a little bit of a chance to kind of adjust, you know, because some people coming from different areas, Carson Wentz came from North Dakota into Philadelphia. Now, it didn't work out with Carson, and that's a shame. And that's a whole nother story by itself. But what I'm saying is like, you know, it does take a little bit of adjustment, and hopefully we're not so quick to judge here in Philly.
Well, judge
did you ever – sorry, I know, just one question. Did you ever feel like there was anything that – maybe you put out over the years, you've been doing this for a very long time. Like, has Philly ever kind of like gotten on your back about something ever?
Oh yeah. I mean, definitely. Absolutely.
Even though you're just putting out the facts.
Yes. I mean, people get a certain way or a certain, they get feelings about something and they are strong about them. And yeah, I've been caught in the crosshairs a couple times, but I'm never, like I always say, like, yes, we can critique, but if we can't do it as well as that person, or we're not in that arena, I would rather get insight and perspective from people who have been in that arena, who have been in that job, to understand all the things about that job or what the player's doing, because I certainly wasn't a pro athlete.
Yeah.
So I'd rather try to get people as guests and try to get that insight and perspective from somebody who's actually done it and been in that seat.
Yeah. Yes. Cause I feel like there's so many reporters and people that have never done this before. And then they are so quick to jump on somebody for this, that, the other thing. It's like, we've never played the game.
Yeah.
Like,
they're so quick to make a judgment on somebody or to say something that's outrageous about somebody without any facts or sources, because that's what they think that people want to hear, you know, rather than just figuring it all out. And then that's painful. I've been hit a few times by people, you know, all I did was I just covered kicks and punts, you know, but, you know, there's those out there, but, you know, a lot of it's all because of insecurity and, you know, maybe jealousy, whatever it might be. But hey, you know, you move and you roll on, you have this great reputation. I really don't want to spend all time on the Eagles, but, you know, there's a lot going on. And I just listened to a couple of your podcasts, one with a former Eagle, because he Bradbury just came back. And also with my buddy and our buddy, Larry Boa. And, you know, with those two teams getting so close, you know, how great was that to be a part of that?
I got to tell you, it was truly amazing. The Phillies run was, in a way, I don't want to say it was more fun than the Eagles Super Bowl run, but I'm saying like it was kind of a surprise. Like,
that's why. Yes.
Yeah. Like we weren't like
the you Eagles should have been there.
Yeah, and the Eagles were rolling the whole year. Mm-hmm. You know, they were 8-0. They were rolling the whole year. So you're like, probably from that point on, 8-0, whatever, you're thinking this team has a legitimate chance of going to the Super Bowl. The Phillies, they just went to a completely different level in the playoffs. And the big moments that they had, like Rhys Hoskins, a couple two-run homers to tie and then go ahead when the Phillies were trailing the Braves. And then Bryce Harper, you know, the eighth inning, come from behind home run to send them to the World Series. They had incredible moments and it just kind of captured the city. And they had a song. I always think if you have a great song, Dancing on My Own was their song, you know, like all of a sudden everybody, even outside of you know, just baseball fans in Philly just latched onto the team. And it was such an amazing, fun ride. And it was like, people didn't know what to make of some of these guys. They didn't really know some of the new players like Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos and some of the new guys. And all of a sudden, they just all, you're like, oh my God, these guys are awesome. These guys are great. And they've got such a vibe to them and they're fun. So to go from that Phillies run right into the Eagles, going to the Super Bowl, and then you're looking at the Sixers now. Right now, they have the second best record in the NBA.
You think that they'll make it this year?
You know what? That is such a tough question because, you know, you say to yourself, well, the Celtics are more athletic and they're a bad matchup against the Sixers. But the way Joel Embiid, James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, the way they're all playing together right now, and James has kind of figured out Joel. I mean, you never say never. I think they're going to have a hard time getting through the Bucks or the Celtics, especially the Celtics. But I mean, the Sixers are doing the best at the right time. Like they are coming together right as we're going to go into the playoffs in April, and they're rolling. I mean, this team right now with the way James and Joel are playing, especially together, you might say if they're at their very best, the two of them, that maybe the Sixers are the favorite to go to the finals, but Celtics are going to be really tough.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like with
the best thing though, with I have a little board, just a couple of things. And they were one of the two things I put in with regard to the Sixers and Maxey, those three, it's like the trilogy, the trifecta. And you know, the trust, and you can see them just develop and the relationship that they have. And Al Joel, I mean, he's just like lights up, please stay healthy. Oh my God. You know, that's all we go. Well, Gabby, you know, she had her 5 years there doing all the
And like, I feel like the thing in the past few years with the Sixers, it's like their egos just have gotten in the way. And I feel like that's a team that there can't be those egos because you have so many big personalities that the second that one of them really starts to, you know, not show up as a team player in whatever respect, you can see it. You can, like, it is a very clear team that what's going on in the locker room is taken out onto the court, and there's no separation whatsoever. And so it's like, if they, like, they can do it. Joel Embiid is an absolute freak. He's a freak. Like, he is so good. And all you have to do is put the right people around him. And I think that they're slowly starting to do that. And they've been trying for years, but it'll be so, like, he alone deserves I'm gonna say World Series. My mind is like on so many different sports right now. I don't know how you can keep it aligned in your head.
Well, I mean, we just finished the World Series run, and then all of a sudden they went back to spring training, and now they're starting the season next week. So that's why it's kind of like wild that all these teams are doing this together. But you make a great point, and such a good point. Joel Embiid continues to get better. He adds something to his game every year. And I think what it was going to take was James Harden. He's like the X factor, being the playmaker that he is. And I've just seen a difference in James Harden, especially since the All-Star break and since he came back from his injury and was able to get his legs under him. But I mean, them two together right now, they're putting egos aside, and it's all about setting up the other guy and making the team overall better. And then Tyrese Maxey, they were pushing him, be aggressive, and he's listening. So you're seeing them kind of come together as a team.
Oh, yeah. So, Dad, I don't know if you have anything about the Eagles. There is one thing I want to go to. So Marcus Mariota, backup quarterback, I'd say that's a pretty solid get. And we had the chance to get him back in 2015 with Chip Kelly, and we didn't. And we got Nelson Agholor, and we saw how that turned out. What do you think? Like, you think this is exciting? You think that was a good get?
I do. You know, I don't think Marcus did very well in Atlanta last year. Yeah. You know, it didn't work out. So I'm hoping that was an anomaly, and that's not the Marcus Mariota we're going to see. I think he's coming here with the right attitude, that he knows he's coming here to back up Jalen Hurts and help Jalen Hurts. And then, you know, there's a similar style there. So I think that when they have Marcus, if he needs to play a game or two, they don't need to change up what they run too much because he kind of has a similar style to Jalen Hurts and a way he plays and an athletic quarterback who can move and run. So I don't think they'd have to change up too much. I hope that they don't have the Marcus Mariota that we saw in Atlanta last year, because that was not good. And Gardner Minshew did a nice job. So we'll see if he's an upgrade. I'm not convinced yet he is, but I think it's good that they have the same style as Jalen Hurts.
Well, you know, we know Gardner pretty well. So, but then we'll just leave it at that. But I wonder if they're going to have Minshew mania out there in Indy. So, hey, John, I know you probably have to get on set real soon. So, we'll just a couple more minutes if we can. But Gabby, is there anything that's really pressing you here?
No, this has been awesome. You know, I mean, I feel like I could ask a million and go on about Eagles and Sixers and whatnot, but. You know, I think that this was awesome and you provide really great insight and you're great at what you do. And that's why we wanted to have you on. And I think that you're a great role model for a lot of people that want to be in the industry. So, you know, kudos to you. Well done, John Clark.
That's so nice of you to say. And I've always thought that you guys just have an unbelievable family, and I love seeing the love that you all have with each other. And Gabby did an awesome job when she was working for the Sixers. I saw her running around, hustling around and keeping everything in order, because there was a lot of stuff going on. Did a great job. And Vince, I mean, your passion that you have for Philly and for Eagles football and sports in general, and just your passion as a person. I love how it's kind of spread throughout your family, because everybody in your family is so well-mannered and so polite and so great with everybody. You guys are just people. And I love it, because you guys are all great. And I always love seeing all of you, because you have such energy, and it's awesome to see.
Well, maybe we'll connect when we're up in Philly. And I know you have a soft spot for a Special Olympics, and you are a role model for so many people. And I know that they really care for you and all that you do for Special Olympics and everybody around the Philadelphia Eagles, Philadelphia area. You know, you're a part of the community. You never left us. I'm down here, but my heart and soul is still right there in Glen Olden and Delaware County in Philadelphia. So appreciate you. And you're the best, man.
I love it. I love your roots, and you are real to this day. I love it.
But one last thing, go Showboats. Vinny's down there in Memphis. We're up there in Memphis right now getting ready for the USFL. So keep an eye on the Showboats this year. It could be fun.
That's awesome. Best wishes to the entire family.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. You too. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right.
Good seeing you.
You too. Bye.
See you.